when Judy asked me to speak, I thought, okay, I'll speak on, don't worry,
be happy, me set. And I thought, you know, when everyone was telling their life story in COVID times, and yeah, I thought, well, maybe I'll do that, because I hadn't done it before. But then I kept thinking of lots of Bible examples, so I sort of got a bit of both, so it goes a bit wrong. Anyway, I started with Matthew 6, 25 to 27. Jesus is speaking. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? God knows we'll always have worries, but he wants us to give them all to him. Do you ever think that most of the Bible stories just give us the bare bones without speaking of the emotions and thoughts of the people involved? I reckon it's because they were written by men. Just factual without all the feelings and emotions that women would add. Except for David.
Save your voice. Oh.
David wasn't afraid to show his emotions. And I thought I'd just talk about a few biblical women that could have worried and fretted, but chose to reset their emotions and move in ways that pleased God and helped their nation. For example, Jochebed, the mother of Moses, reset. And instead of worrying that baby Moses was destined to be killed, she put him in a basket in the bulrushes in the Nile River and set Miriam, his sister, on watch. Miriam, instead of being fearful when Pharaoh's daughter found Moses, reset, rushed out, and offered to find a Hebrew woman to nurse the baby for her. They ultimately saved a nation, and Jochebed was then influential in her son's life until he was weaned. He could have been anything from 2 to 5 years old in that time. Jael, wife of Heber, chooses to put aside her fear when Sisera, the commander of the Canaanite army, stumbled into her tent. She resets, gives him milk to drink and a bed where he falls asleep from exhaustion. Then she bravely kills him while he sleeps. Her victory led to the land having peace for 40 years. A song was written about Deborah and Jael. Deborah is referred to as a mother in Israel, and she is remembered for her wisdom, prophetic insight, and courage in times of crisis. She told Barak that God would give him victory over Sisera and his troops, but Barak was afraid and would only go to fight if Deborah went too. Deborah reset and went, but told Barak that the honour of killing Sisera would go to a woman, and so it did. Abigail was another woman who could have been afraid because the folly of her husband put all their household in danger, but she reset and went out to meet David and his men with provisions. David praised her, saying, "Thank God for your good sense. Bless you for keeping me from murder and from carrying out vengeance with my own hands." And then later, when her husband died from a stroke, David sent for her and made her his wife. And think how Bathsheba had to reset when David got her pregnant and then had her husband killed so he could marry her. What an emotional time for her. Then when she lost her baby, did she suffer depression? The Bible doesn't tell us Bathsheba's feelings, only that David lay prostrate on the ground and prayed to God to spare his baby's life until the baby died. Then he got up, washed his face, reset and worshipped the Lord. Only then did he comfort his wife. Ruth and Naomi, what resets both of them had. But God's plan was fulfilled in both their lives. And Mary certainly had a huge reset when she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Luke tells us that she was confused and disturbed when the angel came. But as he left, she had reset and said, "May everything you have said about me come true." She could have worried about what people would think, but the Magnificat, that beautiful song of praise she sang, when she visited Elizabeth, shows us that she had completely accepted God's will for her life. I was only going to mention women, but I couldn't neglect Acts 16, which tells of Paul and Silas in prison after freeing the slave girl of the evil spirit, thus robbing her owners of their hope of making money. They didn't worry. They reset and sang songs of praise. Then an earthquake opened all the prison doors. The jailer nearly killed himself, but he reset when he saw all the prisoners still there. He and all his family were saved that night. Amazing miracles happen when people choose to reset and trust instead of worrying. 2 Kings 6 tells the story of a man chopping trees near a river. When his iron axe head falls in the water, he cries out, "Oh no, it was borrowed!" It's so natural, isn't it, to be concerned and upset when we damage or lose something that belongs to someone else. Elisha, the man of God, cuts a stick and flings it into the water, and miraculously the iron floated. The man who lost the axe reached in and retrieved it. I think that this story shows that God is concerned about our trivial problems as well as our life and death situations. Nothing is too big or too small for his care. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." I could keep going. Every day when I read my Bible, there's another reset. And just this morning when I was reading about David and his men coming back to Ziklag, and he found finding the town burnt and all their wives and children carried away. They were all gone. They thought they'd all died, I think. And they sat down and they wept. And then David reset, and he asked the priest for the ephod and asked God, "Shall we go after them?" And God said, "Yes, go. They will all live." And so they went and they got them all back. And I thought that just reminded me of Psalm 30, verse 5, where it says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." And also Psalm 98:6. "The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid." So looking back over my life, there are numerous times I've had to reset my thinking and actions and emotions. I'm sure there are for each of us. I'll just give a potted history of my life. I was born in Nambour in 1948, the same year that Israel was reborn as a nation again, as God had promised. I was the second daughter in our family. Mum had lost one baby at birth as labour went on too long and the doctor, by all accounts, was incompetent. She never saw that baby. It was just whisked away. She thought it was burnt in the hospital incinerator, which happened those days, so different to what happens now. Her next baby, my sister, survived, but Mum lost another in utero when her father's shop burnt down and she went into shock. So when I was born, I was very much wanted, and as a young child, I was very much overprotected and worried over, as Mum didn't want to lose another child. She was, understandably, always very fearful. My early years were spent in Nambour. All Mum's family lived there and also Dad's mother. We went to the Methodist church, and I remember being driven to Sunday school on the back of a ute with lots of other children. I've got memories of my grandparents and their home and aunts and uncles and holidays at the family home on the river at Murchidor. When I was 4, Dad, who was a high school teacher, was transferred to Toowoomba, to the high school on the corner of Margaret and Hume Street. Anyone who did commercial studies there between 1953 and 1957 will remember Merv Hoskins. There's a few people in Toowoomba I've spoken to who had him as a teacher. I guess this was my first big reset. We rented a house in Jennings Street, and the next year I commenced school at the Toowoomba Girls and Infant School in James Street. We went to the Neil Street Methodist Church, and Dad taught Sunday school and was a lay preacher. He also took night classes at the school, and we walked everywhere because we didn't have a car in those days. I don't remember being sick until we came to Toowoomba. Apparently, I must have had tonsillitis, because one holiday back in Nambour, I had my tonsils removed. After that, I was sick much of the time with bronchitis, asthma, and once I had pneumonia. So Mum spent a lot of time taking me to doctors, giving me horrible tasting medicines, and keeping me home from school, and generally being fearful and worrying about me. And that doesn't engender confidence in the child. I wonder if I can have a drink of water.
Sorry.
Sorry, is that all right? Thank you. So I was pretty fearful and nervy child. I sucked my thumb until I went to school, and then till at night until I was about 7, hence my buck teeth. I bit my fingernails too. To top it all, I was left-handed, and my grade one teacher did all she could to stop me and make me write with my right hand. That only made me more nervous, and I was always in trouble for having my slate pencil in the wrong hand and getting slapped for it. Eventually, she must have given up, because I still do everything left-handed today. I don't think I was being naughty. I think I was just, I couldn't, just scrambled my brain trying to do it with my right hand. Anyway, Mum convinced Dad to get a transfer away from Toowoomba, and she was sure the climate here was bad for my health. So we had another reset. Dad was promoted to Deputy Principal of the State Commercial College in George Street in Brisbane, and they bought a house at Graceville. I went to Graceville State School, and my sister started at the Commercial College with Dad. We all went to the Graceville Methodist Church, you know, the big church on the corner of Oxley Road that Walter Taylor built. The same man that built the Indooroopilly Toll Bridge. Thank you, I needed that. And Dad again became superintendent of the Sunday school there. I was still sick a lot, and Mum kept me home for 2 or 3 weeks every time I had a sore throat, which inevitably progressed to bronchial asthma. She didn't let me play sports, because you still had to play if it was raining. And she said if I got wet, I'd get sick. And I did. Words carry great power. My biggest reset, though, was when Billy Graham came to Brisbane in 1959. We went to hear him at Milton Tennis Centre one night, and then on Sunday at the exhibition grounds. I went forward as a 10-year-old to accept Jesus Christ as my Saviour and my Lord. My counsellor was a lovely man who lived at Corinda. He gave me a Gospel of John and wrote me letters to encourage my faith walk, and we corresponded for several years. After primary school, I attended Indooroopilly State High. Dad, by this time, was the chief examiner in the commercial subjects of shorthand, typing and bookkeeping, and set all the external exams. He would not have been able to continue to do this if his daughter had been enrolled in those subjects, so he was keen for me to do an academic course. He said science was the future. My sister did commercial and had a great secretarial job. Anyway, all the marked papers from all the examiners came back to our place, and Dad paid me to add the marks on each paper to ensure there were no mistakes with the adding. I did find a few over the years. I enjoyed junior science, physics, chemistry and maths A and B. But after the first week of senior, I knew I would never understand physics and maths too, so asked if I could change. And that didn't happen very much in those days, because there was an academic class, a commercial class, an industrial class, and there was just, yeah, anyway, I was able to do economics and zoology instead, and I really enjoyed those subjects. But I had to change classes, so that was another reset. Christian Endeavour was a big influence on my life as a teenager. I remember a conference in 1964 in Brisbane. A big contingent from Graceville were in that choir. When I was 16, I was even allowed to go to an Easter camp at Coolum. It was a Christian Endeavour camp, which was amazing because my parents gave me a pretty sheltered life and didn't let me go to many places because they thought I'd get sick, and I did. Again, the power of words. And I was in trouble every time I got a sore throat and got the third degree about where I'd been if I'd taken off my jumper and got cold or sat in a draught or what else I'd done wrong to be sick again. And I always had to wear a singlet, even on my wedding day. Mum insisted. Mum was very averse to taking risks. I've got many memories of her being fearful of many things. most of which never happened. And yet she loved the Lord and was the most generous person I've known. She would have given the shirt off her back to anybody who needed. For over 40 years, she prepared and led devotions for the Ladies Guild at Graceville. Her dad, my grandfather, he died when I was four, so I haven't got too many memories of him. But he was very high up in the Masonic Lodge in Nambour. And years later, when we learnt about the evils of the lodge, we tried to talk to Mum about it and convince her to have prayer to renounce this over her life, as we did. But she always said, "My dad was a good man. He would never be involved in anything wrong." And I've often wondered whether this Masonic influence was the origin of her fear. My next reset was moving house from Graceville to Kenmore after I finished senior. The next year I attended Kedron Park Teachers College. Most of us had a teacher's scholarship, whereby the government paid us an allowance for 2 years and we were bonded to work for them for 2 years afterwards. Our first allowance was paid on the 14th of February 1966. Oh. Do you remember that date? The whole country had a reset. Sing with me. In come the dollars and in come the cents to replace the pounds and the shillings and the pence. Be prepared, folks, as the coins begin to mix on the 14th of February 1966. Don't you remember?
No, I wasn't here.
No. We were standing in line to receive our little brown envelope with our first decimal money. And Bruce and I happened to be standing together in line. And that is basically how we met and had our first conversation. Amazing how much you can learn about a person while waiting in line. Bruce had spent the previous year at UQ, then came to college, and we were in the same group. God was organising it all, and Bruce was left-handed too. Another good thing, asthma medication changed, and instead of the little red ephedrine tablets that took a half an hour to work and left me with a racing heart, I now had an aerosol spray. What a relief! It worked immediately! That was a reset for which I'm very thankful. In those days, when you finished college, you were posted to the school closest to your home. I went to Kenmore South, which had just opened the previous year. Bruce was posted to Ironside because he was still studying physical education at UQ and living at Puma Lodge in Turinga. On a local note, the recently retired principal of Fairholme was in Bruce's grade four class of that year. He had a second year in Brisbane, still based at Ironside for 3 days teaching physical education and travelling to Mitchelton High School one day and several small primary schools around Brisbane on the other day. We were engaged that year on my 21st birthday in September, and at the end of the year Bruce was transferred to Mackay, another reset. He remembers driving up there with one suitcase containing pretty much all his possessions. Lots of letters were written in those 8 months, and almost 12 months after our engagement, we were married in the August holidays in 1970, and I reset and joined him in Mackay. I had to resign when I married, but was reappointed in Mackay. We rented a little flat, and we were very happy. We didn't have much, but we didn't need much. At the beginning of 1972, Bruce was transferred to Warwick, Bruce's hometown. And it was here that we bought our first house. Our four children were born. We could have stayed there for the rest of our lives. We loved our church, our family and friends, and I loved being a stay-at-home mum. It was in Warwick that we began to grow as Christians, and the charismatic renewal was starting. I was baptised in the Holy Spirit after our first son was born. I was singing and praising God, and his love just came down and enveloped me, and I started singing in tongues. What an amazing reset. We listened to tapes of Derek Prince and David Pawson and others, and I remember Derek Prince speaking on demons and evil spirits, and he said that nail biting was caused by a spirit of cannibalism. I was still biting my nails to the quick, and I just renounced it and asked God to remove that evil spirit and never let it back. And I stopped biting them. That very day. Hallelujah. Praise God for that reset. While we were in Warwick, Bruce did a grad dip in education administration at the DDIAE in Toowoomba. It's now the university. God had another reset for us. Bruce's mother had just died in August of 1980, and Bruce had applied for subject master positions in health and physical education, which came up in Brisbane, Nambour and Bundaberg. It wasn't going to come up in Warwick, it was too small at that stage anyway. So we had a big move this time with four children, and we were so sad leaving his dad and his older sister and her family, as we were all very close. After Warwick and our beautiful view over to the mountains and Cunningham Scap, Bundaberg was so flat. We couldn't see any landmarks because of the cane in all the paddocks. But the people were very friendly. Yes. And the church welcomed us and immediately appointed Bruce superintendent of the Sunday school at Kepnock, which at that stage had over 70 children attending regularly. Their parents didn't attend church though. Mm-hmm. Only two other families who both became close friends were very involved in the whole life of the church there. We used to have family services several times a year to encourage the parents to come and hear the gospel with their children, and it was so good to see that little Kepnock church fall. We soon settled into life in Bundaberg, and the beach at Bagara was close, as was Monlopo. We camped there and watched the turtles come up to lay, and later saw the hatchlings emerge. This was before the beach was closed in nesting season. Now you must book and pay for the privilege. I learnt a lot in Bundaberg, many resets. Firstly, and Anne mentioned this in her worship, so thank you, Anne. God showed me that our earthly homes are temporary and our heavenly home is eternal. So it doesn't really matter where we live here, as long as we live our lives for him. Psalm 90 verse 1, Lord, you have been our dwelling place, our home, throughout all generations. Bundy was a great place for the children after we changed schools. Another reset. Their first school, which was the closest to where we lived, was open area with multiple classes together in a big area, not much discipline and very noisy. And Alison was crying herself to sleep every night. And then Kylie also shared how much she disliked it. Kylie was in grade 4 and Alison was in grade 2. A Lutheran primary school had opened that year and we thought it may be the answer. We visited and spoke to the principal, the only teacher. And unfortunately, he advised us against sending the girls there. He said he was so busy with several behaviourally disordered children who had been expelled from the state schools and would have no time to give two good little girls who wanted to learn. We appreciated his honesty and we prayed for a solution. And I was really upset because my little girls were upset. But God answered our prayers. In 1 week, three different people told us about Kalki, a little school on the edge of town. It was only 5 minutes drive away, but in those days I thought it was, you know, a long way away. I went to speak with the principal and he took me to the grade 4 teacher and the grade 2 teacher. They both said, bring the girls here. So the next day we enrolled them at Kalki. They both came home happy that day and every day after. Hallelujah. What a wonderful reset for them. They loved Kalki and thrived there, as did our boys. Kalki had a drum band and they had many trips away to various festivals in different towns. I became a band mum and helped sew uniforms and went on several trips with them to help prepare food and iron uniforms. And Kalki had the best breaking up days at the end of each year. The music program in the schools in Bundy was wonderful and all our children learnt to play strings. The girls' violin, as you would have seen the other day, church, and the boys' cello. They also learnt piano to various levels. Music gave them many experiences and many trips away with choirs and orchestras. And being relatively flat, Bundaberg was a great place to ride bike. I was still fearful of many things, and I remember hearing a visiting speaker one night at another church. He had an altar call and said someone had a spirit of fear and God wanted to remove it. So I was thinking, So hesitantly and fearfully I went out for prayer, and then I felt such a relief and a freedom and knew it was gone. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love and self-discipline." Another amazing reset. Psalm 34 verse 4 says, "I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears." And 1 John 4:18 says, "Perfect love drives out fear." In Bundaberg, I trained as a lifeline counsellor and did the 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. shift one night a week for a few years. I left a meal for the family in the crock pot those days. I also taught RE in schools and for a couple of years helped organise the program. Bruce continued to study and did a grad dip in health science and then his Master of Education. When our youngest began school, I did more study and became a supply teacher. And when I had my Bachelor of Education, I received a permanent position. I had another reset in the process, as I was hoping to do children's literature as my major. But God had other ideas and the program was full when I applied, so I studied special needs instead. And that is where God had me working for the rest of my career, and also in reading recovery, which I did for 5 years with a year's break between my two stints. And that was really the best thing that the department ever introduced, but then they haven't got it anymore. It was so good to see children that I'd taught. Once they did reading recovery, they'd come to you, they couldn't read, and you had them for about 20 weeks or something, and by the end of it, they could read. And it was just amazing, and you'd see them progress through the school and they'd still be out. They may not have understood everything they read, but they could read. And I used to love going to the Kepnock speech nights, the high school speech nights, because so often I'd see some of the children that had problems when they were young and they helped. And they, you know, they still didn't achieve very much at primary school, but then they'd get to high school and I'd see them going out and getting prizes for animal husbandry and woodwork and metalwork, those sort of things. That's where their skills were. Anyway, over the years, we were both at different times elders in the church and members of the parish council. Sometimes when they were wrangling over an issue, I'd say, "We need to pray about it." And they'd look at me as if I had two heads. And then they'd say, "Well, you pray." So I did. Prayer wasn't as normal as breathing, like it is here. It just, I don't know. I went to several of the women's renewal camps held at Kalamundi with two other ladies from the Uniting Church. No one else was interested, and the ministers didn't really approve. Bruce went to a couple of men's camps at Mapleton too. One year, I came home from camp with a letter from one of the leaders to give to my minister, which said that I had the gift of intercession. Our minister didn't know what to do with it or what to do with me, and so nothing happened as a result of that, except I was really embarrassed and sorry I ever gave him the letter. This was the same minister who didn't approve that we had Bible studies and prayers in our homes. He asserted that unless the minister led the Bible study, it was just a pooling of ignorance. However, for the whole time we were in Bundaberg, we pooled our ignorance with our friends and had prayer and Bible studies together every week. And God led us and was always faithful. And all our ministers weren't like that one. For the last few years that we were in Bundy, I was asked to be the chaplain for the Girls' Brigade, and I loved helping those beautiful girls grow in their faith. Bruce was always an adventurer, as you know, and not averse to taking risks, so with him I began to enjoy bushwalking and climbing mountains, which Mum would never let me do, as she thought I'd fall or get a tick, which might kill me. Bruce took me abseiling, exploring caves, canoeing, cycling, you name it. We did all these things with our children so they would grow up with no fears and learn to enjoy God's magnificent creation too. Unfortunately, After finishing school, all our children moved to Brisbane to university, and none of them came home to Bundy. That was another reset, and I really suffered from emptiness for a while. My dad died in our first year in Bundaberg at the age of 69. He wasn't able to enjoy his retirement and had continued ill health, mainly his heart. After our children left home, Mum had many health issues too. It was too far to visit her for a day and come home again. When she had stints in hospital, I took time off work and came down to help. My sister lived closer in Brisbane and helped Mum a lot. Some of our children and grandchildren were in Toowoomba, and we prayed about coming back to the Downs to be closer with our, to our family. Another reset, this time to a property in Ramsey. Bruce had always aspired to be a farmer. His best friend in Warwick had, came from a farm, a dairy farm, and he was always out there. So this was his chance. So he retired from Education Queensland and built a lovely garden. I received a transfer as a support teacher learning difficulties, mainly in small country schools, which I loved. It was a 0.6 position. It was perfect, as I taught for 3 days, then went to Brisbane to see Mum for a day, and then still had a long weekend. I retired in 2012 on the day that would have been my father's 100th birthday. I thought this was very appropriate because he was an educator all his life. He finished his career as head of the School of Business Studies at the Queensland Institute of Technology, which is now QUT. Mum died in 2015, 4 days after her 102nd birthday. She was still fearful until the end of her life, but she would say she lived that long because she never took any risks. 3 years ago, we had another reset and moved to Palm Lake, where we have met some wonderful people and made many new friends. God hasn't finished with us yet. He is still teaching us many truths and asking us to follow where he leads. His resets are good because he is good and he is perfect love. Our dog Angus, who I've spoken about before, had a massive reset when we moved. But because he is at heart a country dog who has tried the open range and knows life is best at the master's feet, he's settled into palm life beautifully. Remember that analogy with us and Father God? Angus loves to be with us and to spend time at the front of the house, soaking up the sun on the doormat or in front of the garage, which was also a favourite spot for him at Ramsey. He never runs off anywhere else. He ensures we have 2 walks each day, and he happily spends his day at home. He has another big reset when he encountered lots of small white jumpy dogs for the first time. But he soon became used to them and now has several dog friends. Many folk we meet on our walks like Angus and they love to pat him. I think he's quite a therapy dog for them and they don't have to bend down too far. And he enjoys every pat he gets. And he loves holidays at Hoey's when we go away and can't take him, so he has the best of both worlds, but he's always happy to come home. We have had other emotional resets when our son's marriages broke down, and I still get upset discussing those. But each reset leads us closer to the Father and to a life of prayer and intercession for our loved ones and others who are far from the kingdom of God. God has given us a large family to pray for daily and to do our best to lead to Jesus. With each reset, we have a choice to make. Do we accept change and try to do it in our own strength? Or do we let the Spirit of God lead and make the change in his strength, knowing his will and his way is always for our best? In all our turmoil and all our resets, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure, Hebrews 6:19. Our anchor doesn't go down to the seabed, but it goes up to the true heavenly sanctuary, where we are moored to God himself and held in his everlasting arms. The Passion Translation says, our anchor of hope is fastened to the mercy seat, which sits in the heavenly realm beyond the sacred threshold, and where Jesus, our forerunner, has gone in before us. And Anne read Philippians 4:6-7. I was finishing with it too. Paul said, don't worry about anything. Instead, Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Let's just pray. We declare you alone are faithful, Lord God. You alone are our hope and our salvation because of your great kindness and love. We hide ourselves in your faithfulness. We declare you are our strength, our comfort, our unshakable hope. You are the anchor of our hearts, steadfast in all your ways and completely trustworthy. We choose to reset ourselves in you each day. Amen.
Thank you, Janine. What a wonderful story.